Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is episode 8 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's Julian. Before I go anywhere, you know the drill. Call in for some awful advice at 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. I came in today with no agenda. I came in with no intentions of getting political. I came in with no intentions of subbing anybody. I just wanted to reflect on my week and my day and what I have coming up in my life. So let's just have like a little hangout. I woke up this morning not feeling the best. I had a little bit of a long night last night with some friends. Hadn't had one of those in a while. First proper hangover in probably 2 months around there, at least. And not feeling great. This is the thing with New York. Everything's available, but you got to pay to play. I was craving a bagel sandwich from one of my favorite spots called Kosar's. There's a few in the city. It's a real thick boy, the bagel. And they have this one called the Classic. It's like your classic lox, capers, cream cheese, all the stuff you'd want out of a very Jewish deli, a New York bagel. And it's like 20 something. It's like 20. It's 20 bucks. It's not like it is. It's $20. So I wake up. Single track minded. That's only thing that's on my mind. And I slept and I woke up at about 1 today, which is very rare these days. I'm an early riser most of the time. And I'm doing some work and then I can't get this bagel out of my mind. So I walk and it is unbearably windy this spring. If you want to call it spring, I feel like we're flirting with winter still here in New York. It's beautiful outside, it's sunny, and it looks incredible. And the weather app will tell you it's 50 degrees, which, depending on where you're listening from, may sound cold. Here, that's pretty good this time of year. I'm walking, and the wind is like 30 miles an hour, and it just drops the temp. You know, it's like the real feels like 25. So anyway, I'm fighting through the hangover. The wind is hitting my face. The wind actually kind of feels nice in terms of like whatever's going on in my head. And I get to this spot, Kosar, as I walk in. And I'm like, am I really about to spend? I've been awake for a half hour and I'm about to spend $30 on a coffee and a bagel. But like most New Yorkers, I do it without hesitation. Which is bad. Like, I feel New Yorkers are conditioned to just pay more for everything. And everyone's like, it's expensive to live in New York, which is true. The rent's expensive. The parking, if you need a car, which you really don't, is expensive. Like, the living expenses are a lot. But it doesn't help that the restaurants and the, you know, the everyday spots that you want to grab a quick bite or something like that, or I guess they have to be expensive because they're also trying to keep their damn lights on. Commercial space is not cheap in New York. The whole reason everything's expensive is because of the fucking real estate market. But I saw it as completely normal, and this is the problem. I saw it as normal and acceptable to come out of pocket $30 to spend on a small coffee, a small iced coffee, and a bagel. Mind you, that's all I ate today. It's not that late. It's currently 7, so 6 hours ago. These days, I'm not much of an eater, which is probably not good. I said episode 2, I believe, or 3, was it, when I was talking about my dry January, which clearly in the condition I'm in is long gone. I've cut back significantly on drinking. But point is, I lost like 10 to 12 pounds from that experience, and I chalked it up to the no alcohol. But I really don't think I eat enough. I think I know I don't eat enough. And I eat more often than not. I'll have my smoothie after I work out. And then I won't eat. My first meal, like first chewing meal of the day, usually comes around 2-3 o'clock for me. And then sometimes that's the only meal I'll eat. Or I'll like run to Whole Foods and get some sushi or grab something to eat for dinner. But I'm looking at probably like a meal and a half to 2 meals a day on a lighter side, on a light meal side. I'm not really throwing down. I don't like being full. I'm not someone that likes to eat for discomfort. If I'm eating a steak, I won't just finish the steak because there's steak on the plate. If I'm done, like if my stomach I listen to my stomach when I eat. I don't plow through food. I take time because your stomach, there's a delay between your actual feelingness of how full you are and what your brain is telling you. So you need to respect that window and listen to your body when you're consuming anything, certainly food. And I'm saying this from the high horse of someone that's extremely hungover right now, but not extremely, but enough that it's agonizing. And I don't know, food, I've never, I love to indulge. I think the thing that I can pig out on to discomfort is candy. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just holding on to being a child for as long as I can. I love candy. I've been eating, what do I get? I have old man taste buds too, as my friends and family would say. I love black licorice, which I know is odd. Don't care. That means no one wants to share candy with me, which is great. I love Good and Plenty, which most people don't even know, but that is a black licorice candy. I love Milk Duds, underrated candy, underrated boxed candy. Boxed candy is so, it's just perfect. That little cardboard yellow box. Carrying that, I mean, I watched at home here. When you go to the movie theater, you want that little box candy. I mean, the chocolates we can run down. I was staring at, I got a bacon, egg, and cheese for breakfast 2 days ago, I believe it was. And I was staring at that when they were making it, by the way, secret hack for bacon, egg, and cheese. And I can't believe I'm giving this up. This is my gift to you, the listener. When you get a bacon, egg, and cheese, especially if you're in New York, which is probably the only place you should get a bacon, egg, and cheese, you get the usual, and then you add bacon, egg, and this is how we order bacon, egg, and cheese with a hash brown, salt, pepper, ketchup. I'm telling you, the layer of hash brown on a bacon, egg, and cheese is a game changer. And it's got a beautiful crunch to it. It's more texture. It's obvious a hash brown, so we know it's just delicious as is. But when it's on the sandwich, it is incredible. I had a friend of mine in A&R, actually over at Warner, was in town for a few days. And we tried to find time to meet up, hang out, and we got breakfast together. But our breakfast is, that's what I love about him, he's very low maintenance. Our breakfast was just going to my local bodega and getting bacon, egg, and cheeses. So he ordered his, and then I ordered mine, how I just said it to you. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute, what's that? And I put him on the game, and he tried it, loved it. And I'm happy to put my friends on to that for sure in person. I love seeing their reaction, especially when they take that first bite. But please, 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 especially if you're in New York, but even if you're not, throw a hash brown on your bacon, egg, and cheese. Comment, let me know if you like it. I also have very other like unique hacks to simple orders that I like to do to enhance them. I'm a very like additive heavy guy in things. Like even when I cook at home for salads, I've been making like these salmon bowls and things, and I'll buy like the sesame seeds or the little accoutrements that make it more of like a restaurant robust experience. It's always the little things that you don't think to buy that always takes something to the next level. Like my cabinet is, I'll buy, and that's the problem with like Whole Foods, everything's stupid expensive, but you buy like say a very specific topping or a paste for an entree, and of course the recipe itself only calls for like a fucking quarter of a teaspoon. You hardly need any of it. It's like, can I just put like a scoop in a Ziploc bag and walk home and not have to pay $20 for this? So you know, you buy it, you bring it home, you take the teaspoon, put it in, and then that thing sits in your damn pantry for 3 years until you decide to make the recipe again. Point is, my pantry is filled with stuff that I've used for like once or twice for a meal where it's just the sliver of the ingredient is necessary, and now it's just there for eternity. Which, speaking of, I made a spicy rigatoni a couple weeks ago. Probably the best pasta, one of the best pastas I've ever had, honestly. I'm going to give myself that much credit. Certainly the best pasta I've ever made. It was incredible, but there is a very specific ingredient in that recipe that I needed very little of, and now I have a jar of it at my apartment, which honestly is enough of a reason for me to make it again. So maybe I should do that for myself soon instead of paying $25 and then up to $30 for a bagel and coffee, just to breathe in New York. You get hit with a tax, man. It's really tough here. I'm in the process of moving. Well, not yet. I'm looking. I've been currently in my home here for 4 years, longest I've ever lived anywhere. I believe until this apartment, from my stint in Chicago till officially moving into here, I believe that was what, that spanned 6 years? About 7 or 8 years. I lived in, I believe, 12 or 13 different places. A lot of jumping ship, couch to couch, lease here. I was on basically never had a longer than a year lease since I stepped in New York until this one. I moved in here with the intention of staying a year. I ended up re-signing that second contract for 2 and then re-signing the third contract for a year. It's coming to an end next month. I'm asked them to push it to a month to month because I have a very, very busy schedule coming up that I'll get to in a second. But like everything in New York, it seemed like the world at large, the market is trash. Real estate apartment hunting here is not kind, and it has been a grueling process. My best plug in the industry has stepped away from her firm, so I don't have like the back end access to when apartments are becoming available, or you know, that peak before it goes on StreetEasy or Zillow if you're looking for a new apartment. I don't have that insider access database anymore, which sucks. That's how I got this spot. I locked this in before they put it on market officially, which was actually pretty nice. Shout out to her, she really hooked it up. But I'm dolo this go around, man. And if you're listening to this, I'm in Austin, Texas for South By for the week, doing some really cool stuff with creators, a lot of podcasters. Actually, I'm working on some really, really fun stuff, which is cool. You'll probably see a lot of content from that, and I'll talk about it. I'm not bringing my equipment down, but I'll certainly, when I come back to New York, talk about it on that following episode. Might shoot some stuff down there. Tequila 512 is down there. The homies that sponsored my first episode, and they have a really sick studio office space, and they sent me their availability and their schedule, and they're like, yo, come by whenever. Love to have you, host you. So if my schedule allows, I will go down there and love to shoot something. Probably at night there, which would be sick. While I am down there, though, I have a lot of good friends coming into town for South By. My buddy, the Pangea guys, which you've probably heard me speak of. They're the DJ group. My buddy, my homie. I know Falcons and Joaquin will be there. I don't know if Joe and Nova will be there, but we'll see. So I'm going to be bopping around with them at night. And then who else is going to be in town? My buddy Ali, Mixed by Ali, the legendary engineer that TD affiliate previously, is like the fucking man. The guy's always a good time. He's speaking on a panel. If you're listening to this, he spoke on a panel last night, so hopefully I'm spending that Monday night with them, him and Luke, my homie Luke, who also now lives in LA. He's their lead engineer over there. Good people, great company. A lot of good friends will be in town. I also just need a break from New York. I've been in New York since, I haven't taken like a travel. I haven't taken time. By the way, this isn't like a vacation trip. I'm going to work. But I haven't been out of New York proper in, damn, holy hell. Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind, it may be Dreamville last year, which was almost a year ago. There's no way I haven't been anywhere. Yeah, sadly, I think that's honestly the reality of it. That is dark. Holy shit. I did not know it's been that long since I've left the city. I went home for the holidays, but that's just upstate New York. That's a few hours up on the Amtrak to Albany, Schenectady. But outside of doing a week there for Thanksgiving and then a week again for Christmas, I mean, getting fired kind of choked up my income and my ability to do anything of leisure. So I've pretty much been locked in here at my apartment in the city and have endured the entire winter. This is my first time like just being in a New York winter fully in years, honestly, in quite some time. I usually am good about going to LA or evading the weather. Obviously, I missed the brunt of it, but going to Austin for a week, is going to be very nice to feel the sun and no wind. I'm packing. I packed earlier today. I don't really know how to pack. I always do. I love traveling, but the packing, it's just, I don't know. I'm not, I also should have done laundry. I'm staying at Airbnb and it's like, do I want to be the guy that brings dirty laundry to an Airbnb and does a load as soon as we check in? Probably not. Have I done worse? Yes. Do I want to do that now? Not at this big age. I'll probably do some laundry before I leave though, because that sounds smart. Yeah, it's gonna be like 80 degrees. I'm stoked. I want to just be outside. I want to be active. I want windows open. I want sun on my skin. Like, I want to do outdoor shit. Honestly, if the weather permits and they're with the vibes, I would love to go paddleboarding. I would love to get on that lake, paddle with the homies in Austin. I do have a couple like good friends that live there. Everyone that I previously named is visiting just for South By, but I do have some friends that call Austin home. Austin, man, they're really pushing it. It's like a new Brooklyn. It's a very new scene. Texas as a whole is not for me. I'm still very not a big guy on the South. The South scares me. As a Northeastern kid, I was raised to fear the South via school and my upbringing with my family in particular. I had some horror stories that my dad shared about younger days when he had to go down there or whatever, and it just had always had a sour taste. The history of this country, we know the South is quite brutal to people with a little bit of melanin in their skin. So yeah, even though it's Austin, even though there's, you know, Soho House and they like poke bowls now and you can get a matcha on 6th Street and you can do all the whoop-de-doo-de-doo, let's go to the mothership, it's still Austin, it's still in Texas. So I am going to have my head on a swivel and be very weary of passerbyers. And there are signs. I'll look out for big, tall hats. I'll look out for anybody with a pocket knife. Anybody that recreationally carries a pocket knife, to me, is like you're inviting a certain type of energy into your life, and it concerns me. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be a part of it. Keep the blade away from me. Sir, you live in Austin, Texas. You drive a Tesla. You work in tech. You don't need to have a knife and a gun in your dashboard. You're not, no one's coming after you. You're not a healthcare CEO. No one's gunning for you, man. Like, what are they going to take? The Celsius that sits in the middle of your car console? Like, no one wants what you have, respectfully. So I just want to avoid, I'm not a fighter. I want to avoid all confrontation. I just want to go about my time, hang out with my friends, have a couple drinky drinks, and then, you know, and just enjoy it, man. I'm stoked. And then I come back here to New York, and then shortly after that, I'm shipping off to Dreamville Fest, the last final, fifth and final Dreamville Fest. The homies are calling it quits after this one. Certainly not for lack of success or ticket sales. They are just, you know, sometimes things come to an end, chapters close, and this was a beautiful chapter, but they're ready for bigger projects, ready for other business ventures, putting their focus on other things. I actually had a really great phone call earlier with Boz talking about the music he's been working on earlier today, actually. And he was telling me about a really cool story. I can't name the artist. Hopefully he tells this story somewhere on a public platform about getting a song cleared through a very legendary artist. It was a very, very, very cool story. And I hope that he shares that. Maybe he'll share it with me. At Dreamville, I want to do some version of a setup and bring my stuff down just on some like gorilla, hang out with the boys, let's shoot in the hotel or something. I'd love to have something like that set up, so we'll see. But yeah, last Dreamville, and what a year. I mean, it's weird, like I'm measuring my year since then and where I was in my life career wise and just like emotionally, and just a very different space for me in a calendar year since April of last year. I know it's not April yet, but just thinking ahead, it's been a wild ever since that that final day. I mean, obviously the Drake Kendrick thing dominated the timeline and our news feeds. Even got to the Oscar stage. Obviously, we saw Conan O'Brien talk about the jab at Kendrick, which that writer was very happy that joke performed well. He said he made a bet with another person that Conan O'Brien's Kendrick jab that he wrote would get a big crowd pop, and sure enough, it did. The joke was, it's halftime of the Oscars here, all that, now we have to, Kendrick comes out and calls Drake a PDF, for, you know, for the crowd, big crowd pop from a lot of PDFs, probably, ironically. You love when the pot calls the kettle black. That just seems like that moment, it's just permeated the culture, man. What really blows for Drake and his stans is like, it's so far beyond music now that this is just going to be something that it's going to be like a punch. He's a punchline now. Like the punchline is him when it comes to those kind of stories or those kind of cases. So yeah, it's just, that's a constant. That's not going anywhere. He's kind of got to live with it, which sucks. That Nokia record's a hit though. Got one on his hands. My queen, Baby D, is going through it. I saw that that post from, I don't remember the other creator's name. I wasn't familiar with her before that post, but her and Damaris exchanged words with each other. If you're not familiar, Damaris had a clip that an episode that I was on. I was in the room when we shot it, and it was during the few episode stretch where everyone was basically yelling at Maul and trying to reason with him as to what's actually going on and why Drake was losing. And Damaris was making a case for why people don't like Drake, referring to the culture vulture ways and all these other things that people have said about him. But she wasn't saying she believed those things. She was just using them as reference to what people have been saying about him. Actually, in speaking with Damaris and knowing her as a human and as a person, she prefers and loves Drake as an artist to Kendrick, but she also can understand how people look at him negatively and can see how these things can coexist. It's funny because when we spoke a while ago, she was always afraid of the K-bots, but who knew that this whole time it was the Drake fans that would be the people gunning for her. So anyway, that clip of her saying Kendrick and his culture vulture ways, whatever, gets clipped way out of a context, like egregiously out of context, and gets stitched to a video that she posted on, I believe, TikTok, of her dancing to Nokia, Drake's latest hit record. And then this woman, who I do not remember her name, makes a video reacting to it. And is like, stay over there. You're talking about, you know, the K-Bod. You're all miss, you know, you read books and all that shit. You're educated. Stay on that side. We don't want you over here as Drake fans. We're better than you. We have fun over here. So then Damaris responded. I love Damaris, but she gunned. She went for the woman's jugular, attacked her looks, attacked her, you know, hair, all that stuff. All that stuff I would not be comfortable saying. And the woman fired back with a very solid shot back. And unfortunately, these exchanges landed on plot twist Drake's seemingly his Finsta, where he posts relevant content about him or things that he wants to, you know, is on his feed that he finds funny. It's kind of just like his repost blog, vlog. It's like a Tumblr, honestly. And she made it on there twice. Actually, I have to look again. I don't follow the account. I have to go back and see if they did another shot at her. It sucks. I feel bad for Baby D. People are attacking her. We actually called. She called me. We spoke. And I asked her. I texted her. I said, Baby D, what the fuck is happening? Are you all right? Something like that. And then like an hour or so later, she FaceTimed me. And we talked for a little bit. This was last Thursday, I believe. Yeah. And I felt bad for her because I know Damaris, man, she doesn't deserve any of that, and she's got thick skin, but this stuff, it's cuts, especially when it's taken out of context, and it was just, like, not at all what she was saying, and it's just ironic that Drake, the guy that makes this album for women and songs for women, is attacking women in this process as well. Not attacking maybe a little too tough of a term, but there's no need to kick Damaris' back in because of a silly video that was obviously taken out of context. And I'm hoping with the connections at that show that was communicated to Drake, but I doubt it. There were a lot of laughing emojis from Maul, which is like, come on, man, that's, you don't do that. You got to defend Damaris. So I don't know. Tough situation. I feel bad for her. I'm sure she's fine now. It's been a few days. I don't think there's much more will come of it. I haven't heard her address it, nor does she need to. But I'm here for you always, Baby D. It is Aries season. I saw that. It's also, we just passed International Women's Day. So shout out to every single woman listening. Special shout out to my mom, who's probably listening as well. So what else is going on, guys? I honestly came in here with the intentions of freestyling and just going off what felt right and what was on my mind. Back to moving. Well, the Dreamville, let's stay on Dreamville for a second, because with Dreamville, you have to anticipate new music. This is a huge moment. It's the final Dreamville Fest. Do not be surprised if new things come out, or if you hear a rollout or someone announce. Jid has been on the timeline saying the album's done. Artists love to just say that. We'll see if that's true. I feel like this is going to be a very active year release-wise for Dreamville, which is exciting. I've heard of some collaborations and some things in the works behind the scenes that it's not my place to say, but some very interesting sounds and some very interesting features and collabs coming up that should shake shit up this year. Honestly, it's been a pretty dry year for music coming off of the success of last year. Can you believe it's almost been a year since the hip-hop fucking glitched and crashed out? It's still crazy to me. Like, this was like hip-hop's, you know, like when before 9/11 happened, no one remembered what there was. Like, when you would count the months of the calendar, you'd have to go January 1, 2, 3. You'd have to count them on your hand like that. December is 12, and then so on and so forth. As a kid, you always remembered, if you had to count months, you'd count from the beginning, or you'd always remember your birthday month. So I'm born in November. I always knew November was the 11th month because of that's, you have to recite that. You have to fill that out on papers, et cetera, on nursing forms when you're a child. It wasn't until September 11th that we had to remember September is a month, which is crazy. And I forgot the original plan, what the point is. Oh, yes. I'm saying this because April now, to me, April and May, because the hip-hop crash happened in May, but certainly the moment that set it off was at Dreamville Fest last year. April is like the new, it's like the hit 9/11 of hip-hop. Because that's when Cole did the apology on stage. April's like stamped in my mind. Like, going back to Raleigh in a month's time is going to feel like I'm on ground zero, reliving a bloody battle in what was a joyous occasion, was just a fucking the knife twist. It's going to be weird being back there. It's actually not the first time I'll be back there. The first time I went back was, you can't see it, it's off screen here. Jungle and Boz did a tour together, which was incredible. But Jungle's last show was in Raleigh, and I had a free weekend. I flew down. This was in, let's see, what's the date there? I was in Raleigh on, I was in October. No, I lied. Where the hell is it? Why can't I see it on this poster? I am blind. Raleigh, North Carolina, October 16th. I was there on October 16th in Raleigh. So it was weird being back. I'm not going to lie. It felt odd. The air felt different, and the environment was dreary. And it was also around election time. There were a lot of signs. It was interesting at that time in the country to be in a swing state, because you drive by, you could tell which neighborhood and which districts voted for what based on the signs that occupied the lawn space. And it was a lot of Kamala, 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 waltz, waltz, waltz stickers. And then you'd, you know, hit, it was like coming out the airport, you're in like the more rural county. So you're seeing a lot more Trump, 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 Trump. And then as soon as you get into the city and you're on like North Carolina State, I think it's NC State, the campus there. Yeah, the Wolfpack, that's their campus. And you're seeing a lot of professor lawns and people that work in education that have all the Kamala and the Tim Walz signs. It's just very interesting to be like in that. I mean, that's the beauty of America. There's such a different spectrum of beliefs and priorities in terms of who you support and what you want to vote for. And it was cool to be in that environment. So it was a very political, tumultuous environment. But then also I was like feeling the remnants of the last time I was there with the Cole apology moment. So it'll be interesting to be back that same year on the same ground, scene of the crime in that same exact park, and see if we can recapture lightning in a bottle and see if it can just become the beautiful one send-off hurrah and a weekend full of incredible surprises and just met with just like the homies. I'm really excited to just be back on that grounds with the friends. I mentioned it earlier, but if you're listening to this, International Women's Day just passed, and I did want to give a special shout out to America's favorite woman, America's mother, the one that we all deserve, who has graced us with her presence in media. She's a legal expert. She's back on the timeline, and she's just here to really disrupt the system and just become an advocate for change and stand up to women and be a role model for little girls alike and just be the, you know, it's, someone's got to do it. It's not an easy job, and a lot of women have come and failed. Kamala Harris couldn't get it done. Hillary Clinton couldn't get it done. But thankfully, our good pal Casey Anthony is back, and I think she's going to be the one. I think she can win at TikTok. She's going to win TikTok, and I'm pretty sure if she ran in 2028, shoo in. Let's hear what she has to say. She's back, guys.
This is my first of probably many recordings.
Hopefully many.
On a series that I'm starting. Okay. I am a legal advocate. Mm. I am a researcher. I've been in the legal field since 2011. And in this capacity,
I've been in the legal field since 2011. Does being tried for murder inherently make you a legal expert? I feel like there's some nuance to that. Let's just carry on.
I feel that it's necessary if I'm going to continue to operate appropriately as a legal advocate that I start to advocate for myself and also advocate for my daughter. For those of you who don't know, my name is Casey Anthony. My daughter is Kaylee Anthony. My parents are George and Cindy Anthony. This is not about them. This is not.
It's not about them. They're all dead.
In response to anything that they have said or done, that's not to say that I'm not going to respond at some point.
It's not about you anymore, Kaylee. You're gone. You're still in the pool. Get her out. She's waterlogged.
Do some of the things that they have said and done. The whole point of this is for me to begin to reintroduce myself. I'm doing this both personally for me, but in a professional capacity. Moving.
Reintroducing yourself after being tried for murder. I mean, two people have done it. No bullshit. OJ may have done it very successfully. His online persona, RIP to OJ, but his online persona on TikTok after obviously killing multiple people, he was killing it. And he was like likable and funny and lovable. Seems like Casey's taking a more serious approach. She's an expert. Hopefully she's, you know, we'll see what kind of advice she gives. I feel like this is going to unravel fast and crash and burn, but you know what, Beth? It doesn't. She's going to win presidency. She is the future of America. Casey Anthony is, when I see the Statue of Liberty in this beautiful city that I call home, I see Casey Anthony.
Moving forward, the majority of what you will see will be me speaking in a professional capacity.
Yes.
My goal is to continue to help give a voice to people.
Continue to help.
Continue
to help give a voice to people. She only took away one voice. It's like 2 for me, 10 for you. She's took away one, and it was a small voice. That kid could barely, the child barely spoke.
People, tools, and resources that they can utilize so they actually know where they can turn to.
Mm.
So with that, please join me on Substack. If you have questions, set up an email address where we can correspond directly. Okay. Up until this point, that has never happened. And it's only going to be on a limited basis regarding legal issues, legal matters.
She's only talking legal, only legal. No advice on how to dispose of anything. Don't ask her about how she recycles.
One of the main reasons that I'm doing this, there are people close to me who have been targeted and attacked recently. There are also people close to me who have had some recent things occur. And when necessary, people needed to step up, myself included. So as a proponent for the LGBTQ community, community.
I take back she's a winner. Guys, she's pro LGBTQ plus. She's just not pro baby. But she's pro gay. So she's an advocate. So therefore we cannot make fun. I take back nothing I said. Wasn't sarcastic. I am dead serious when I speak about Casey Anthony as being the future. She's LGBTQ forward. She's a positive contributor to society. She is what we need. I want, if I had a sister, if I'm blessed one day to have a daughter, I could only hope that she can go through Casey Anthony's TikTok and just learn an ounce of her legal knowledge. She's an encyclopedia.
Women's rights.
Buzzwords.
I feel that it's important that I use this platform that was thrust upon me.
It was
and now look it as
thrust upon me. Who the fuck do you think you are? You just created a TikTok account to thrust upon me. No one put a gun to your head and say, yo, sign in. What's your 6-digit code? Let's make sure it's verified. You just did this. No one's making you do this.
It's a blessing as opposed to the curse that it has been since 2008. With that.
Oh, 2008. She's talking about the when the market crashed. That's what happened in 2008, guys. The market crashed.
These aren't going to be perfect. They're not going to be edited. Obama. Most of the time, they're not going to be short. But I am proverbially standing in the light, embracing this piece, still going to keep my privacy intact. So you will get very comfortable with my car. And I will explain in great detail why it's so important for people to protect their privacy.
By telling
it's not just important to
online.
Public figures, it's even more important to private individuals. And with the current climate in our country especially, it's that much more important, which is why I am utilizing the Substack platform. Yes, I am advertising this and publishing this on TikTok, possibly also through other meta platforms, but okay. My intention is to separate from that. And
yeah.
Showcase even more.
All right, you get the gist. Point is, Casey Anthony's back. We're lucky to have her. This is big for America. This is big for women. I don't think women should take this lightly. I think you're welcome. She's a hero. We should celebrate everything that she does moving forward. She's pro-LGBTQ, so she's got my vote. Welcome to the internet, Casey Anthony. This is pretty much par for the course of what to expect in America, certainly in 2025 with all the wild stuff going on. Why not throw Casey Anthony's legal advice in the mix? Still, again, not clear as to what makes her an expert aside from being caught up in a murder trial that consumed the country. For those that are too young, Casey Anthony basically murdered her daughter, a one-year-old daughter, Kaylee Anthony, in a pool. They drowned her, found her in a pool. And then for, I believe it was 30 days, didn't report that her daughter, who was one, by the way, was missing. There is nothing. She got off, but you could assume that her and with the help of her parents, rid of the body and did what they had to do to keep it under wraps. It ended up becoming a huge story. Nancy Grace, who was the GOAT reporter at the time, was very, very hard and a very staunch critic of her. And there are many docs about this case. There's many stories that have come out through this. But Casey's taking her power back and she's monetizing on her own education. She's monetizing her own brand. So it's about time. If anyone's going to get paid for killing a child, it should be Casey Anthony. And she should have a TikTok and she should post on Substack. And I will get all of my legal advice from Casey Anthony without a question. I have a lawyers in my family. I'm done with them. Casey, welcome, baby. Welcome to America. This should be very, very, very interesting. Will I be following and consuming a lot of her content out of curiosity? Yes, I think it's hilarious, and I'm on board for all of it. The comments, if I'm her, the funny thing with comments is you need them to tickle the algorithm and get your content. The more faces, the more comments, the more faces that see it, the more people consume it. Does she leave the comments on? She must have very thick skin, I'm assuming, after 16 years at this point of the hell that she brought upon herself, but she's probably also endured because of that. I'm sure she has thick skin, but online bullying and cyberbullying is a different beast. We'll see if she can weather that storm. In sports news, the Mavs don't exist. They retired the franchise. They're done. Sorry to my boys Cam and Peyton in Dallas. My you should know homies, the Mavs are cooked. They obviously fumbled Luka. He's gone, and he just put a beating on my Knicks, man. That was a very difficult game. I slept like shit that night. Very discouraging loss. We should have won that game. And then their star, the only star they have left, the only bright shining star in Dallas, Kyrie Irving tore I believe his ACL, and he's done for the rest of the season. They played a game a couple nights ago, last week, with seven guys in uniform at shoot-around. Very, very, very understaffed right now. They could probably use another guy. They could probably take Bronny. Give Bronny some real minutes. Put him over there. Speaking of Bronny, the whole interaction with LeBron and Stephen A. Smith was tough to watch. I'm not a father, but I can imagine how difficult this has been for LeBron to hear people like Stephen A. talk about his son. But unfortunately, Bron, you put your son in this position. Bronny was not ready for the NBA. He's not an NBA talent, but he is a professional paid athlete in the association, and he can be criticized and scrutinized as a professional athlete. He's a miracle that he is where he is. Obviously, that health scare at UC was terrifying, and that moment happened. But the reality is, everything that Stephen A. said is true. I think Stephen A. has the integrity and the duty as a journalist to be very open and honest and transparent with the state of the Lakers. And unfortunately, I mean, there's always that clip of LeBron saying the worst thing I did was give Bronny my name, because now people are going to compare him, and he's always going to be compared to me and have to be, you know, measured in my greatness, which is true. But it doesn't help when you say that and you can verbalize that and acknowledge that, but then at the same time, you're doing the very thing that doesn't give him any individuality or give him the ability to make any decisions on his own. Clearly, the kid needed to stay in college and develop his game. Clearly, he could have used that time to become a better player, but it's always been about LeBron and LeBron's timeline. And if it doesn't fit my narrative and my greatness path, then, you know, unfortunately, Bronny's career has suffered, and not suffered quietly. It's a very public matter, which is unfortunate. I feel for Bron, though, in terms of defending his son, but it's just a rough look. You're a paid player, man. You're professional. This is a career. And someone like Bronny would have been, the reality is he would have been cut a while ago. The Knicks, we just released our rookie. I believe we got in the same class as Bronny. And we just cut two guys that weren't, you know, bad. They just didn't fit the roster. They didn't fit the rotation. And it seems to be like that's the case with Bronny. I mean, they're showing highlights of him, House of Highlights and Bleacher Report, pulsing and making layups over a defender. It's like, these are, you know, the running joke is he's the Make-A-Wish kid, but like, they're just posting like very basic buckets that he's getting. If he scores, they're posting every single thing where the ball goes in the hoop from him. And it's like, dude, that's not helping the case. You guys posting every small success. Bronny caught a pass today. Don't do that. It makes him look bad when you guys post very basic things that an NBA player should be able to do. Bronny, strong take to the hole, finishes with right. Yeah, he's right-handed. He's done a driving layup 1,000 times over. It's not impressive. You don't have to post every single thing the guy does on the court. But who am I? I mean, Bronny's going to be fine. He's LeBron's son. Like, let's be real. None of this shit fucking matters. I just hope that he finds peace and finds passion and is happy off the court, because it's got to be tough to sit at the end of that bench and know that your spot, you know, may not have been earned, and there's someone else out there that not only should be playing your spot, but you also have people staring at you, taking photos of you, judging everything you do, watching your behavior. God forbid you hand a LeBron a towel or a water bottle and people are like, look, he's his dad's assistant. Like, it's just tough. It's just, yeah, his whole life is under a microscope, and that's not just under a microscope, it's also in 12K ESPN cameras. So everything's documented, and I hope that he really does find peace off the court. I hope he has a hobby that keeps him, it frees up his mental space and gives him a nice relief from the career that he's been forced to have. And I think Bryce is going to have a good future. I hope Bryce plays well. That Kian Anthony, Carmelo Anthony, son's a beast. Good future with these guys coming out. And staying in basketball, but pivoting women's ball. Juju Watkins, USC superstar, huge fan of hers. I saw some new photos of Caitlin Clark coaching that came out on the timeline. She's jacked. She put on some good weight. She looks ripped. I think she's going to be an absolute terror next season. Her rookie season was obviously incredible. I think that her future you're going to see an exceptional amount of growth from her, as it is, because they play her physically. They want to bully ball her. These other girls want to make her feel small. She's got good size. She's a great height, but now she's also getting ripped. So it's going to be like when Jaylen Brown all of a sudden came back from a summer and put on like 40 pounds of muscle, and you're like, what the hell happened to this guy? Who else did that? Giannis did that. Tatum did that. Like, there's always that gear that certain players take to elevate to the next level of greatness. And Caitlin Clark does not shy away from the challenge, and nor does she lack the work ethic or the dedication to get there. So very, very curious to follow the WNBA this coming season. All right, it's that time of the episode. Let's get into some voicemails. Reminder, if you want to get in contact with me, call 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. Also, if you'd like to be a sponsor or contribute at all to the show, here's my email. I'll put it on the screen this time. It's somethingwrongwithpod@gmail.com. Shoot me some info. Let's make it work. I'd love to promote your product, see what you got. If I'm feeling it, we'll make it happen. All right, let's jump in. I literally love that song.
Hey, Julian. My name is Parker, and I'm from California. And I just had a question about, you said something a couple of podcasts ago about you were doing like fit modeling or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just curious if you kind of like, you know, had instructions on like how to get involved in something like that. Me personally, I think I'm a pretty fit person. I go to the gym probably like at least 5 days a week. So I'm in pretty good shape, and I've thought about modeling before and stuff. I just don't really know like where to start, I guess, to kind of put myself out there. So yeah, if you could just provide some tips on that, it'd be great, man. Yeah. Other than that, keep going with the pod, man. I'm actually going through a pretty tough time in life right now, and your podcast definitely helps to like,
aww, Parker,
just add a little sunshine to the day. So keep it up, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
Well, that honestly, that might have cured my little hangover here. Wow, that was very, 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 very nice. Thank you, Parker. That was not expecting that. Well, sorry you're going through a rough time. Well, hopefully we can help you put some money in your pockets to hopefully ease whatever you're going through. Yeah, modeling is, especially fit modeling, is very measurement-based. The beauty of fit modeling is it's not your face at all. It's purely your body measurements. So people hear fit modeling, they think it's like fitness modeling and you're doing workout stuff. It's not that at all. Basically what it is you're a human mannequin. In terms of how to get discovered, I was scouted. It's a very interesting story, not worth getting into. That one would have to be behind a paywall to get the actual story of how I got scouted. But a girl basically was like, hey, you should do this. And I followed up with her, and I went into the office, the agency. I'm signed with State Management here in New York. And fit modeling, I believe it's like 15 or 16 or so measurements. And it's, you know, up and down your body, bicep, chest, legs, etc. The cool thing with fit modeling is it's all you have to do is be within a certain threshold of the measurement to. So I am the fit model for a men's medium. Perfect. Like proportionately. So a brand like was one of my clients, like Under Armour, will design shirts. And I know I'm saying fit and it's fitness stuff, but there's also other stuff. There's like, it's not just workout stuff. It's any clothing company. I'm just blanking on a J. Crew. Will take someone like me, if they're developing a new line, they'll, you know, have prototype number one. I'll try it on. We'll do like edits, talk through it, and then they'll go from there. And then I'll keep getting called back. It's like an hour booking. They're very fast. It's great pay. The hourly rate for fit models is very great, especially in New York, I'm sure, in California as well, in LA, if that's where you are. But yeah, Parker, I would, I don't know if this is like the thing where you need to go into an agency in person, but if you find an agent, maybe DM them, or also just Google, look up the measurements, because you can do them yourself at home. So say if you're a large, I fit for a medium, say if you're a large or a small or whatever, do the measurements yourself. Google what are the measurements for fit models of someone my size. Like if I'm modeling for a medium, I know that the chest is 44 is perfect. I have an exact 44 inch chest, and then they want, you know, certain waist proportions and everything else. Do the measurements yourself. Have someone do them with you. Write them down. Make sure you're within range. And which also is like forward thinking, because if you reach out to an agency like, hey, like I did the measurements, I'm within range for all these things, I'd love to get work as a fit model. I really think it probably is that easy. Fit modeling, the most difficult thing about fit modeling is becoming a brand's client, because once they work with a model, they pretty much just want to work exclusively with that model. Meaning, like, I have a couple of clients that were womenswear that were starting to develop menswear products. So they'd never had a fit model for men products. So then, thankfully, I was pitched and booked as it, and they found they liked my build for their line. And I've been working with them ever since. So it's great. It's consistent work. And they, every time they put out new product, hoodies, shorts, it's not just shirts, it's pants, swimwear. I did swimwear with Champion. I wore some of their swimwear, which is actually pretty sick. But then there's also, you can sub for fit models. Another way to get in is one of the guys who's been a fit model here in New York for like 15 years had a kid. Mind you, we're not friends. I don't know these people. They're just on my agency. But he had a kid and he was out with his wife. And I am his sub because on paper we have the same measurements. I think my arms are freakishly long. So outside of my arms being a little long, we are basically, I'm a perfect sub for him. So I've done a lot of sub work as well. The way to crack it is to just be available. You know, it's a lot of modeling is there, everything's by the hour. So it's like clockwork. And also you'll go there to try on a t-shirt and walk out and make like a few a few hundred bucks. Like a lot of it's quick. It's not like labor intensive. You're not doing much. You might need to learn some technical terms like rise, mid-rise. I had to like look all this stuff up because they're asking me questions about the clothing while I'm wearing it. And I'm like, I don't know, it's a t-shirt, it fits fine. But then, you know, you learn things, you figure out the right sizing here in the arms and when the neck is too high and when the shirt should be a little longer or short. Like you just, you know, the more you do it, repetition, the more you learn. But yeah, my advice to you is go to local modeling agencies, measure yourself. Step one, measure yourself first. Pause, not that measurement. Measure the, I think it's like 14 or 15 measurements, go through them. And also if you want, like, I'm not saying go to my page, but if you look up like Julian State Management, you see my page, like on my page, it'll show you all the measurements they need for a fit model. So you can literally just look at mine as a reference and say, okay, if you're a medium, if we're the same size, you'll know if you fall within like a half inch or so of all my measurements, then you should be good to go. You don't have to be exactly like the size that they say. It just has to be within, they call it within range. So do that. Go to local agencies and good luck, man. I think you'll be fine. If you work, it sounds like you're in good shape. It sounds like you work out. And it sounds like this could be a good source of income for you. It honestly has been nice. It's like a surplus money that I looked at one time as my fun money, but obviously when my money dried up. Here, it's been like nice to have some money coming in from that. So it is fun. It's interesting. I meet a lot. It's a lot of women in this industry, in the fashion industry, and it's been very fun. I go to one client that has an office dog, and they're very cute dog, and it's fun. Like it's just nice to try something different. It's always, nothing's ever the same. And you're in, dude. I mean, it's a job, but it's not a real job. Like you're just trying on clothing, giving advice, and then you'll see them in like a week or two's time. It really is like, it's fun, it's easy. And if you're on, all I have to say is if you be on time, respect everybody's time, get there, be honest with your feedback. Don't just say it feels good. Like give real tangible feedback if they ask. And then, yeah, just be friendly, just be yourself. It sounds like you're a good guy, man. I'm sorry you're going through some tough stuff right now. Hopefully if you get a fit modeling on your schedule, it'll free up some financial burden, but also give you more of like a sense of you know, self-worth if that's something you're going through. So I'm wishing you the best, man. I would want to do more voicemails, but I'm running late to a friend's birthday party that I have to get to. I also just packed for Austin. So again, when by the time this episode comes out, I will be in Austin, but I have to finish packing. I have a flight to catch early tomorrow. Delta, do not crash. Play, knock on this chair's wood. Everything is wood. Please, I haven't been on a flight in almost a year. Well, since October, because I went to Raleigh. I haven't been on a flight since October. Do not do me dirty and like have this be some like, I don't want to crash in rural, I don't even know what states we're flying over, Nebraska, or is Nebraska on that flight path? Probably not. I just don't want to go out in like Virginia. Just please make us get there safely and return home safely for not just me, for everybody on that flight. And I hope I have a black female pilot. You know what? Let's keep it fucking, or Casey Anthony. Best case scenario, Casey Anthony's the pilot. She can babysit. I'll buy a kid so Casey Anthony can babysit for that flight. All right, but I don't want to take every guy's time. I love you. Thank you again. Week 8, guys, we did it. Something wrong with the podcast. We're here to stay. You will hear a lot from me soon. Expect some really fun episodes coming out with friends that are going to be in town. Armani White's album, I believe it's coming out this Friday, or if it wasn't, it was not. I don't know. It's coming out. Check him out. That's one of my closest friends in this game. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Have a safe and blessed week, and we'll talk soon. Bye.